Like to call to order this meeting of the Tax Reform Division of the Senate Committee on Taxes. Today is Tuesday, February 5th, 2013. First item is approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections to be made to the minutes from, Thursday, January 31st? Any errors people see or misspellings of names or anything like that? Senator Dietzick moves approval of the minutes. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Today we're going to take up two bills dealing with local sales tax provisions, and we have dealt with local sales tax, local option sales tax proposals in the past. We tend to have a very spirited discussion of them, and probably today will be no different, Senator Saxhog and Senator Peterson. We will start with Senate File 15. Senator Saxhog, if you would come to the witness table, and you can bring your witness with you. So we now have Senate File 15 before us. Senator Saxhog, welcome to the division.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. Today I am presenting, as you noted, Senate File 15. This bill would allow the City of Walker to impose a sales and use tax for basic necessary improvements in the city. Walker has already approved this tax in a referendum last November and are now requesting the required legislation. I think you all understand, or probably have, most of you have been to the City of Walker. It's one of the most beautiful settings for a resort town in the state of Minnesota, being right on the shores of Leech Lake. Its population, as with many great resort towns, quadruples at least in the summer time, and of course they have the Leopold Festival coming up, which probably increases the population too. They have adjacent townships that are probably as populous as the City of Walker, and as I said, and as you introduced with me today, is Scott Bruns, Mayor of the City of Walker, and he's going to give some brief testimony. We'll try to answer any questions then, Madam Chair.
welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself, please, for the record, welcome your testimony.
Madam Chair and Senators, thank you for allowing me to appear before you this morning. My name is Scott Bruns. I am the Mayor of Walker. I served 10 years on the City Council in Walker, was off for about 4.5 years, and was appointed when the newly elected mayor resigned, and then ran for election in November and was elected for another term.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Walker is a population of about 943 people. And geographically, we are kind of pinned in because we border right on one of the major bays of Leech Lake. So our expansion that direction can't happen. There is a double township that surrounds us called Shingebee Township, which is just about double the population of the City of Walker. There are four other townships that have the Walker address, or mostly have the Walker address, that have populations that are equal to or close to equal to what the population of Walker is. We had a 76 turnout in the election day. 61% of the people voted in favor of this sales tax. We held several meetings, or I went to several organizations talking about this the year before this was on the ballot. And one of the comments one of the downtown managers made when I attended the business meeting was she had heard from two different people that summer that, how come your sales tax is so low compared to where they'd come from? LGA. In 2002, Walker received over $245,000 in LGA. Payment in 2013 is certified to be just a little over $79,000. That's a heck of a cut. We tried, talked about, was planning to do a street in Walker this past summer, which went by the school that takes up about two blocks. The school aggressively came after us, or not after us, to our meetings, and asked us to delay that. They just didn't have the funds to pay for the assessment that they would have gotten by doing that project. Shingibee Township, in 2007, because of the Agua Ching campus, which is a state nursing home that the county ended up buying, Shingibee Township, and I wasn't on the council or the mayor at the time, but came to the city and wanted a 10-year and did get a 10-year moratorium on any annexation. So we have to live with that until 2017 that there cannot be any annexation, and they're the only township that surrounds Walker. Median household income in 2009 was $24,500, down from $33,000 in 2000. So our area is in income, and of course that's the economy. That's the way the economy has been. But the big thing, like the senator pointed out, Walker, with a population of 943, is paying the infrastructure, which is what the sales tax is meant to do, is to help with the infrastructure with sewer, water, stormwater, and streets in the city, which a tremendous amount of people use that don't belong in this or aren't a part of the city and don't pay the taxes in the city. So that's the reason for coming before you with this sales tax.
Mayor Bruns, what is your estimate of the number of people, I don't know if you said that, that visit Walker during the height of the season?
I would agree with what the senator says. It's just about four times of what the population of Walker is.
So
maybe the, excuse me, ma'am.
4,000 people, 5,000 people each,
I'd say more
each
than
year?
Well, Madam Chair, I think that, for instance, if we'd ask Senator Gazalka to tell us what happens to the population of the Brainerd area, there's a multiplier there that I'm sure is probably pretty similar in the Walker area.
Senator Gazalka.
Yeah, Madam Chair, that's exactly what we say. I think what Mr. Bruns is talking about is how many people are living there at one time, just living around the lakes, staying in the resorts, you know, but the actual flow of people through there is dramatic. I mean, it would be, I don't know what the exact numbers are in the Brainerd Lakes area, but the flow of people coming through, I know it's like Walker because I've been up there to Walker, and, you know, so, and that was the exact reason that the Brainerd-Baxter, or Baxter in particular, had a sales tax, was for infrastructure, because so many people were using it, they wanted to spread that cost out to those that were using it.
You know, we get a little bit nervous about small cities wanting to have a local option sales tax, unless somewhere out there there's a spreadsheet that's going to show what who's actually going to be paying it or what the numbers are, and want to be very, you know, encourage you with regard to a proposal like this to be very cautious. I mean, I know your proposal allows you to terminate the tax if you choose, but want to be very cautious about that. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome, Mayor, and it's good to see you here from the Northwoods. Drive down this morning, and how were your roads? Did you come down last night?
Oh,
very good. One of the things that you mentioned in your testimony that has been of a concern to me is that the cuts in local government aid that your city has experienced. And I know a couple, if not more, of the communities that I represent have come to me with a similar proposal to this, and I've always tried to discourage them from using this mechanism, knowing, as Senator Rest said, a lot of times the revenue hasn't met the expectations, and we have concerns about that. But also, you know, you're talking about the overburden of all of the traffic that comes into Walker in the summer. And in the LGA, the old LGA formula or the current LGA formula, there is a factor for assessing that, the traffic accidents, that I guess is problematic. So, you know, we're going to look at that. And in the discussion that I've had with the communities that I represent that have brought these proposals forward, they always bring up the same point that you just made, and that is that they've had such reductions in LGA, they feel the need to look somewhere else for revenue to provide services to their citizens. So I understand your challenges there, and, you know, we're going to try to work through that. Governor Dayton has proposed pretty solid strengthening of our local government aid program, which might be helpful. The other thing that I'd like to mention is that, you know, street curb and gutter, sidewalk, etc., you know, traditionally has been kind of an assessment of the properties, and you mentioned the problem with the school, but I would hope that there'd be a way to work around that. And then finally, Madam Chair, just kind of one question to you. The 1.5% sales tax seems a little out of the normal range. Generally, these have been around 0.5%. I was wondering if you could comment on the needs for the 1.5% versus the 0.5%, and the 20 years, what kind of revenues you are expecting and what your needs are.
And just a further thing, Ms. Pollock, if Walker had 1.5 cents added to whatever else is now imposed by the sales tax, what would the sales tax rate be in Walker? In terms of what else, what are the other things that people buying stuff in Walker? They start with 6.5, right?
Madam Chair, yes. 6.5, the state general sales tax rate, and then the constitutional rate of 0.375 for the legacy funds, mm-hmm. and then the 1.5 for Walker. And just a moment, let me add that.
8.375?
Go 8.375.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Just to, you know, let's understand what that would mean in terms of purchases there. And do you have a spreadsheet of any kind in terms of responding to Senator Scoy's questions about the dollars that would be raised and why you need a 1.5 cent? Senator Sacksong?
Madam Chair, the mayor has said that he has some information.
Okay.
In that vein. Thank
Mayor
you.
Bruns? And even if you don't have it here with you now, if I think the committee would find it very useful if you could get that to us, your folks. Mayor
yes.
Bruns, any response right now?
Yes, I don't have the exact figures. Thank you.
Okay.
We did look at 0.5% to start with, and it wasn't until we came down to the state to find out what kind of income tax is generated in the city of Walker that we found that that was not going to be enough to satisfy. We did a 20-year program on what streets infrastructure in the streets is going to cost, and the first 3 years of what we have marked, there's over $6 million in street and infrastructure to be done. And the 0.5% with the sales tax we got from the state was just not enough to help out the homeowners that are there. And like I said, it's not just the school, it's the homes that, as the state requires, has to raise the value of the property. As a professional real estate appraiser as I am, it was not going to raise, in my opinion, it was not going to raise the value of those properties as much as what the assessment was going to be given to each one of those properties.
And Mayor Bruns, you did have the referendum already, did
yes,
you
ma'am.
Say, this past November, as is in the legislation. And what was the vote again?
There were it was a 76% turnout on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
61% voted yes, 36% voted no.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Mayor, I appreciate that you've held the referendum, but, you know, we still have to deliberate our deliberations whether this local community has held the referendum or not. And just because the referendum was affirmative, you know, it doesn't mean that our deliberations are going to be positive or negative. It's nice to know that the citizens are supportive.
But congratulations on your level of turnout, 76% is pretty good.
The other thing I would like to add, Madam Chair, and I've had conversations with the communities that I represent on this very issue, I have talked to them, and there's a community just to the west of Walker that will be more inclined to be requesting this very same proposal if Walker's is to move forward. And that is that I struggle with how this is going to play as we look across the state. And I understand that you would have the ability to export your tax out to the tourists that are coming into the area. But there are a number of communities in this state that don't have that ability, and their efforts to do street improvements under this funding mechanism doesn't work very well because they don't have that ability. And we're trying to provide, you know, comparable services to all communities. And so as we deliberate this, we're going to have to try to bring that part to the discussion. Is this a mechanism for a state policy that will move us forward in bringing, you know, comparable services across the state or not? And, you know, I understand your challenges, and, you know, we'll see if there's things that we can do to be supportive. But as I said in my earlier comments, I have discouraged some of the communities in my legislative district from pursuing this. And, you know, it's just an issue that I'm going to have to work through as this moves forward.
And, Senator Saxaw, you know, good information is the best thing for your case here. And I do note that Representative, is it Purcell?
Yes.
Is carrying the companion bill in the House. And I'm sorry, I don't know this person. Is it a man or a woman?
John Purcell.
Representative Purcell. Yeah, has he had a hearing yet on the bill? Do you know?
That I am aware of.
We're not aware of that, Madam
Okay,
Chair.
Just for the record, just trying to figure that out. Anything,
One other comment I was going to make, Madam Chair, because we were talking about this being certainly a regional center and a tourism center, and that's very important. But it's also important, I think, to realize that Walker is the county seat of Cass County. And to that end, Cass County is a diverse county, largely tourism and the forest products industry in the north, and of course the south is the beautiful Gull Lake and lots of resorts down there too. Mm-hmm. But it is the county seat, and that's an important reason to understand why a lot of traffic comes into Walker.
Any further questions or comments for Mayor Bruns or Senator Saxaw? Mayor Bruns.
I have one other comment relative to what you just was addressing. A little over 40% of the land or property within the city limits of Walker is non-tax-paying properties. That's the courthouse, mm-hmm. the school, U.S. Forest Services, and churches of them. And a little over 40% of the land within the city limits is non-tax-paying.
Mm-hmm. So making these kinds of infrastructure improvements, if you try to do it through just property taxes, absent some real investment by LGA, would be a big burden on your taxpayers, is what you're saying. Correct. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to that point, I just asked Mr. Paulson if he would double-check, but you were right in your testimony. If you were to do this through a special assessment, all of those non-exempt parcels would be paying the assessment, but they don't pay the property tax.
That's a good point. I know they just did a street improvement in the city of Golden Valley, that went by my church. And all of a sudden, we had a $42,000 bill to pay, and we did it gladly, obviously, or at least respectfully, not gladly, but it that is the case. They do pay.
Madam Chair, they have to pass the plate twice.
More than twice, let me tell you. Anyway, any other comments for Senator Saxog or Mayor Bruns? Thank you very much, Senator Saxog. We're going to lay the bill over, and we will engage in further conversation with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is Senate File 79, being brought to us by Senator Peterson. Senator Peterson is joined by Rick Schultz, Mayor of City of St. Joseph. No?
Madam Chair, we have a correction there.
Okay.
Yep, we have Ross Olson is with the City Administrator for Sauk Rapids, and
okay.
Shauna Johnson is the Administrator for Wheaton.
Is it Ms. Johnson, though?
That's correct.
Yes, yep. Okay. Ms. Johnson, who's the City Administrator of the City of Waite Park. Please be sure to sign the witness list there so we can get your names correct in the record. So we have Senate File 79 before us, which is also deals with local option sales taxes, kind of a different take on it. And Senator Peterson, do you have an amendment?
Yes, we do, Madam Chair. We need to offer the A1 amendment.
Okay, the A1 amendment is being distributed.
No, it's in the packet.
It's in the packet. And Senator Eaton, on behalf of the author, moves the A1 amendment. It's an author's amendment. Any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Peterson, if you would explain your bill. As amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're very grateful for the chance to come and talk to you about this bill, in particular this morning, Senate File 79. This, members, this is a great example of regional cooperation. We have six cities that have come together and have worked on this project and have used this funding mechanism in the past and focused on regional projects that benefit all six cities and the region as a whole, rather than individual communities. And I think, and I've been here a short time in the legislature, and members, I think this is the type of thing we've tried to encourage in the past, a regional cooperation of cities that are close together, working together in an effort to try and save their residents and Minnesotans money as we try and work together as local governments. This is an extension that would involve six cities, St. Augusta, St. Cloud, St. Joseph, Sartell, Sauk Rapids, and Waite Park. You're aware that in 2002, this was a local sales tax that has funded numerous regional projects, including a St. Cloud Regional Library, our regional airport, and many transportation projects that connect our cities. And I think, again, are great examples and good use of these dollars. This legislation, again, would require each city to go to their voters ahead of time in a referendum proposal in order to collect these dollars as well. It's important to note as well this bill was included in the last two tax bills that unfortunately did not make it through the legislature in the previous session. And my hope is that this committee and others can support it again moving forward. And lastly, you know, it's important to note as well, you have the fiscal note, I think, in your file there as well, and has no impact for the Department of Revenue. And with that, I would like our guests to expand on this project as well. So.
Okay. Who's going first? Ms. Johnson.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Just wanted to highlight a few other things.
You need to, I'm sorry, to
state
your
name.
My
name
for the record. Thank you.
My name is Shauna Johnson, and I am the City Administrator for the City of Waite Park. Thank you. Just to highlight a few other things, the sales tax that is collected amongst our six cities actually comes together in one big pool, and then it is distributed out to our cities, first having the first $900,000 that is collected to go towards a regional project that all six cities agree to. And then from there, it's distributed based on a population, your 50% based off your population, and then 50% based off the sales tax that you collect within your communities. So regionally, we collect it, and so those that benefit from that are all of those from our cities on an equally basis based off that formula. It has been used to fund primarily regional projects. In fact, that's been the main thing from our parks and trails to a lot of our transportation needs that we have within our area. Being a regional center, particularly from the city of Waite Park, of a population now just over 7,000 with our recent annexation, we have over 100,000 cars that go through our community in one day. So we believe that the sales tax truly does benefit those that travel on our roads. It goes towards providing those capital expenditures for our streets and for our parks and trails, community centers, libraries, and things like that that are used by those that are part of our St. Cloud region. And I think one of the things that we're looking at it, and why are we here now, it does expire in 2018. For us, we're here because we want to make sure that we have enough time to be able to plan for that extension. Some of the things that we've heard from our Chamber of Commerce is that they'd like to see the sales tax extended, and so our work here will allow us to go back to our individual communities, work with them, and provide some education and some input on what types of projects they would like to see. We do that in individual communities, as well as looking at what our regional project will look like in the future. So for us to do that, the other thing is that we're looking at wanting to extend to 2038 for the purpose of being able to bond for these types of projects. For us, it's an extension. We're looking at similarly treated as Rochester has in the past. That'll allow us to go back then to our voters once we get your approval on this to proceed. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have a couple of questions, but maybe we can hear from the other witness, and then maybe some of them will be answered through your testimony.
So, Madam Chair, thank you.
Identify yourself, please, for the record.
Absolutely. My name is Ross Olson. I'm the city administrator with the city of Sauk Rapids. Thank you for having us here this morning. I think Shauna Johnson, my colleague here, did an excellent job at explaining the background, the need, and the cooperative efforts that the citizens of central Minnesota and the governments have come together to provide those necessary projects, those important projects that otherwise would be extremely difficult to complete to the level that we have. I just want to talk a little bit about Sauk Rapids and some of the projects that we facilitated in our community that would never have been able to become a reality if not for this half-cent sales tax. I think it's also important to note that we have incredible cooperative efforts from not only our municipalities that are partners to this joint powers agreement, but to those counties that surround us. Many of our communities have county state aid roads that run through our communities, and when those need to be updated, there's incredible cost that the cities have to fund as a part of that reconstruction. The Sauk Rapids Bridge Project. This bridge project downtown reconstruction, when I say downtown reconstruction, that's due to the road right-of-way acquisition needed to facilitate the right-of-way needed for not only the bridge, but for the roadways that accommodate. This is a $56 million project that had millions and millions of dollars that were required by the city of Sauk Rapids just to facilitate the reconstruction and reestablishment of our downtown districts. All of that was made possible, at least from our perspective, as a result of this half-cent sales tax. And I welcome you to come to Sauk Rapids and see some of the fruits of our efforts and labors as we redefined our downtown. From a specific transportation perspective, the city of Sauk Rapids is working on 2nd Street up the hill. That's a county state aid road, and in the state of Minnesota, there is I don't want to call it a hard, fast rule, but it's out there that if a county road needs to be reconstructed in a municipal boundary, the municipality is on the hook for the right-of-way. In just this project alone, we're talking probably the neighborhood of $3 to $3.5 million of acquisitions that are going to be required for the construction of this county road that the city of Sauk Rapids will have to fund. if not for the half-cent sales tax, I can honestly say I don't know how the city of Sauk Rapids would have been able to fund a reconstruction of a major arterial through our community that is being traveled by those that work and live in Sauk Rapids. Those are just driving through. And we're concentrating on those regional projects, and this sales tax option and the extension not only will continue those successful projects that we've done to date, but allow us to continue working with our partners, cities and counties, to provide that transportation infrastructure.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. I was going to ask some questions first, but Senator Buzalka, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just, to Senator Peterson, as far as the communities involved here, do any of them or do all of them, or which ones get local government aid versus which ones do not?
Senator Peterson,
Looking at the list, I'll let the city administrators respond as well, but I do know St. Cloud receives local government aid, and currently I'll let Shanda respond for Wake Park because I know that's been reduced. Yeah.
Madam Chair,
the
city of Wake Park does not receive any local government aid, and I can also say that Sartell has been one of those others that has been on and off on the formula, and I do believe that they are looked at to get some LGA either this year or next year. For us, even with the new proposed formula that's by the governor, Wake Park still is one of those cities that does not receive local government aid.
Maybe Mr. Paulson, if he's here, do you know if which of these cities? Certainly you can answer for your city, but...
Absolutely. Madam Chair, I'm from the city of Sauk Rapids, and we do receive local government aid at a lesser amount than we did in 2002, but we do receive local government aid, which is absolutely necessary to provide those community services, which is different from those transportation infrastructure projects that we're talking about today.
Mr. Paulson informs me that St. Augusta gets about $11,000, Senator Gazelka, and for St. Joseph? St. Joseph gets $645,000.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, to that point.
Let me just make sure that is responsive to Senator Gazelka.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Scoyer, I'll let you.
Thank you. Just if I could just add one thing to the discussion about the LGA that these communities are receiving. Part of the issue, and we've had discussions before about how the regional definition of regional center would apply to these communities, and if it's an accurate assessment of what truly a regional center is.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we go through the discussion this year about aids and credits, I would expect that we will continue that discussion of how these five communities working together as a regional center and how they're going to deal with the overburdens that I listened to the administrator from Sauk Rapids talking about.
It's actually six communities.
Yeah, I haven't counted them all up yet.
Thank you, Senator Scoy. Senator Peterson, one of the things that Senator Saxog brought up was the population of Walker, which is not the smallest city in Minnesota, but certainly is not a regional center in terms of population. We mentioned that there are 7,000 people in Wake Park. Taking these six communities all together, what's your estimate about what the population is? And that's kind of getting at, you know, what's a regional center if we don't pay attention to the actual geopolitical boundaries and just the community at large. How many people do you estimate are in this regional center?
Yes, Madam Chair, we would have about 110 to 115,000 in that range with those six cities that all basically border each other.
How big, and I'll have to ask council about this, how big is the Mankato area as a regional center? Anybody know offhand? you know, they have a local option sales tax, and I'm just trying to understand the getting at this issue of what's a regional center.
Madam Chair, I can check on that and get back to you in
okay.
a moment.
I see Senator Senjum here. How big is the city of Rochester? It's become a city of the first class, if you don't mind answering our question. How big is your population?
Madam Chair, I think with the new demography, I think it's around 107.
107. So, yeah. You know, if we keep in mind, even though these six communities are there, they approximate the city of Rochester. So I think that's important because Rochester has everything within its boundaries. It is a city. It's a city of the first class. We don't do that here, but it's the same in terms of the larger affected community. So I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. The let's see, Mankato has 39.5, and they have a local sales tax, as I recall, for their airport, which you have used for the St. Cloud Airport in support of it. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
As well as loans from the airport fund, correct?
Correct.
Are all six communities collecting this now, or is it just St. Cloud that's collecting it now? I'm trying to understand the extension and who has passed a referendum and who has not. Do all six need to pass another referendum to do the projects and extend it that you are proposing in this bill, Senator Peterson?
I'll let Ms. Johnson respond there.
Madam Chair, members, yes, all six cities currently have a referendum that's been passed, and those referendums, most of our cities expire in 2018. There are a few others that go beyond that date. However, the legislation it has the sales tax expiring at the end of 2018. So with the renewal of this sales tax, each of those individual communities will need to go back to their voters before that 2018 deadline if this was approved to get a new referendum approved.
And so if, just a second. And so if that happened, if it was approved, would you need to return to the legislature for any additional authorization of your referendum?
Not that I'm aware.
I mean, for in terms of stating the projects or whatever, you have it all here. Usually we get these bills after the referendum has been passed. That's why I'm asking. Yeah.
Madam Chair, yeah, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think if my memory is correct, part of the history of this is I think originally there were four cities that came and passed the referendum, and then over the intervening time, these other two communities have joined on, and that was part of my 4-5 discussion. And now that it's been in place, are you expecting that all six will act promptly, or will there might be that time delay that there was the first time that this was instituted?
Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair and Senator Skoy, I believe all cities will act very promptly. They're very concerned about this issue, which I think is, you know, demonstrated by their desire and my desire to work on this in advance of the deadline.
Are all of these cities contiguous?
Yes, Madam Chair, they are. Yep. Yep. St. Cloud has tried to take over Waite Park many times.
I was going to say. There were some issues with redistricting about parcels that were part of one city, but yet were in a, or it looked like it ought to be a parcel in a single city, and it wasn't, and you couldn't get, you know, it was a parcel inside one that belonged to the city that was actually part of the other city because of annexation issues over the years. But if you took these six cities and started at the outside and drew a line around them in terms of a single boundary, there would be no open space. Is that correct? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, Madam Chair, there's open space, but yeah, the city borders go right up next to each other.
So there's no space inside that area that doesn't belong to one of these six communities?
Not that I'm aware of.
And are there other communities nearby that are interested in joining in, or is it just been the group that Senator Scoy mentioned at first and then joined by the other two?
Yeah, Madam Chair, as of right now, I'm just aware of these six cities.
So. These six cities. Are there any other questions for Senator Peterson? Senator Dietzick.
Madam Chair, thank you. Are any of these six communities, are there projects planned or that you're looking at into the future? And I know you don't know because voters make up their own mind, but what happens if any of these six communities decide they do not approve any referendum?
Good question.
Madam Chair, member. What happens if there's in if one particular city doesn't pass a referendum, then what it does is that city is out of that, and then the other remaining cities that have approved the referendum would actually move forward with those types of projects that were decided by their voters.
Would that, and following up on that, would that then preclude any projects occurring in a city that did not pass a referendum, or is the regional nature of the program such that even if they voted the referendum down, that the other five, for example, if it was necessary for the region, would still consider putting a project in them in a city that turned it down?
Madam Chair, what happens is that the cities that pass the referendum decide prior to those referendums going to the voters on what that regional project will be. And what we have done in the past is that the first $900,000 collected would go towards that project. So what would be then if it was five cities versus six, that it would still be that first $900,000 that would go towards that regional project. And I think from our perspective, because the projects are regional, we care less about where the location of that project is and really focus more on the regional significance of that particular project.
But there's no resentment if one of the cities decided not to participate?
We've had that in the past. Senator Scoy mentioned the fact that Waite Park and St. Joseph came on later, and that was a result of those two communities not passing that referendum in 2002. And so, no, we understand that. We understand that those are voter choices, and I think what we do is we move on from that. It's part of the reason why we're here now. There is some complexity to this. We've been able to work out those details, and to be able to give us enough lead time ahead will allow us to be able to look at these things so that we can work out those issues.
If you got this authority this time around, as Senator Peterson mentioned, it's kind of, maybe he thinks it's a third time should be the charm here, but when would you be, do you know, did the cities have any schedule about when they would start asking their voters to consider the extension? Would you start in 2014, or would you wait till 16, or when would you start?
Madam Chair and members, I think from our perspective, the first part of our process in looking at this will be to do the education process and hold some community forums. Many of our cities have held surveys as well, and then we'll work collectively with our cities to determine what that regional project will be. To give you a specific date as to when each individual community will go to get their referendum, it would be before 2018. Given that we have six different cities, to be able to have some flexibility as to when they do that to allow their voters to have the necessary input is really important in this process for us.
And do the election laws require you to have it at a statewide general election, or can you pass this at only a city election? Senator Peterson?
Madam Chair, I would say it does allow for a general election because in the amendment we did have to, that was one of the corrections we had to make. We have one city who holds elections in odd years. All our other cities hold the elections in even years. And so that was one of the reasons why we had to make that amendment to give each city a chance.
It is not the statewide general election, but elections that are held, like for city council and mayor. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's what I understand it to be. Yep.
And Ms. Pollack, is that what's common, that in the past local option sales taxes have been able, the referendum have been able to be offered not during the state general election but during a city election?
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct. And also many of the local sales taxes have been authorized to hold a special election for the purpose of voting on that referendum.
But Senator Peterson, you're not asking for that, just in
no,
a regular election,
no,
not
Madam
a special
Chair.
Election. Okay, any other questions or comments for Senator Peterson or his witnesses? Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And perhaps somebody could tell me the need for the language change, including the word regional, and what would be the facilities that you're looking at after the aquatic centers, so I have a feel for what specific projects these dollars might be going toward. And then I'd also like your take on the net of 25 years. You know, you've got 5 years currently. You're asking for 20 more years. So the total years, it would be 25, and I think that's a touch on the long side. But if you could address those two issues.
Ms. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Member Skoy, from our perspective, the regional projects that we have looked at, I can tell you in the past, we've had funds go towards our airport. We've had funds go towards the library. Those have been the two main regional projects. The Aquatic Center is another one that has been talked about. I will also tell you that transportation projects are another thing for the area that I think we will look at as potentially a regional project that we would look at, as well as potentially trails. All projects that have some regional significance. And in our area, most of our roadways, major roadways, do meet those standards as well.
Senator Skoy.
Well, Madam Chair, you're already doing all of those things, so why do we need to add these words? Why the language change?
Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair and Senator Skoy, are
Senator
you referring
Skoy, yeah, what
are you referring to the amendment? Or?
I'm on Senate File 79, mm-hmm. page 1, line 17.
Line 17, that addition of the language regional rather than just regional and facilities, as opposed to what current law says is community and aquatic centers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Skoy, I think that was just an effort to communicate to the legislature in terms of adding that word regional. That's our goal. I mean, we expect that to be the first priority. The aquatic center, for example, was already on a list that the voters approved, and there has been some planning in regard to that. For example, and I think that project in particular, for example, the YMCA staff and board is looking at the possibility of operating that facility for the region, yet it being owned by all the communities, so to speak. So the adding the word regional, I think, was just an effort to show the legislature and our community that that's a defining term for the project. If they don't meet a regional need, it's probably not appropriate for the dollars.
And Senator Skoy. And Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, so there's no specific thing that you're working on that falls outside of the current language that you're trying to bring in with the addition of those words?
Madam Chair and Senator Skoy, no, there is not, yeah.
Okay, that's good. And then if you could talk a little bit about the 25 years and what the rationale is there.
Madam Chair, Member Skoy, from that perspective, when we're looking at these types of projects, a lot of it has to do with bonding. And typically our bonds, you know, go out for a 20-year period. And with interest rates as low as they are right now, it helps us to be able to look at those long-term projects and determine, you know, if we have financing available to do that. We now know that our sales tax expires at the end of 2018. It's difficult for us to be able to plan on using sales tax as one of the funding mechanisms when it doesn't go beyond that date. And so we're looking at trying to line that up on a longer period of time so that we can look at the ability to bond for projects for these types of things.
I note that Senator Fischbach has joined you as a co-author on the bill. Does she represent some of these communities, Senator Peterson?
Yes, Madam Chair. She would represent Sartell, Sauk Rapids, and St. Joseph.
And I also noted as of the other day when I was reviewing this that there was no house companion. Has that changed?
There is a house companion. That's Representative Dorholt from St. Cloud. He has not dropped the bill in the House yet. He has additional authors, and in fact, I invited him today to see if he would be interested in seeing some of the questions senators had about this type of project. And so I will follow up with him and make sure.
I think
that
it's not always necessary, but it's a good sign when the House member and the senators support companion bills. Just
Yeah, Madam Chair, I do meet with him on a regular basis, and I think currently right now Representative Dorholt and I are working on about six or seven pieces of legislation for our communities, and so I will make sure I follow up with them, and as well as our community members will as well.
Okay, any other questions for Senator Peterson or his witnesses? Seeing none, we will lay over Senate File 79 as amended.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Members, tomorrow we're going to be taking up Senator Chamberlain's bill dealing with the Angel Investment Credit. We're also going to be taking up Senator Hayden's bill, which is a property tax exemption for a nonprofit property that's owned and used exclusively by an Indian tribe that is currently paying the city of Minneapolis $42,000 in property taxes. And then Senator Dietzick is bringing us a proposal dealing with the circuit breaker. And we're going to have a background on what's been happening with the circuit breaker over time in the context of her bill. We'll also just review the Angel Investment Credit. We've already had one bill dealing with that, but we put into the federal conformity about the promotion of the Angel Investment Credit, Senator Nelson's provision in Greater Minnesota. So this gives us an additional opportunity to discuss that. We call it the Angel Investment Credit. It's in the statutes called the Small Business Investment Credit. So just don't be confused by that. And then Senator Skoy, Thursday, you want to just go ahead and tell at least this group of members what we're doing on Thursday.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, earlier we had discussed whether if the health exchange bill was to get to the committee, we would do it on Friday. I think if it gets to us in time, we're going to do that Thursday morning now. And I think the time is 9 o'clock.
So we can get through the paper kinds of things because we're having that Wednesday. Tomorrow night we're having a brief session before we meet to hear the governor's thing. So maybe we'll get through us. But members should be alert to the possibility that it won't. And if that's the case, Senator Skoy, it's your intention to then take it up on Friday.
Yes, and Madam Chair, there was some questions raised in committee about why the Senate Tax Committee was scheduling a bill that it hadn't received yet, but we're just trying to be proactive and keep things moving along. So see what happens with it.
And also responsive to Senator Hand's comment on the floor about enough notice to plan for things, and we want to respect that even as we're working through the process. So any other questions or anything? Seeing none, there being no further business before the Tax Reform Division, we stand adjourned.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'd like to.